financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
What are the other two?
Let's start with a roller coaster ride. I cannot believe the goofy things I do to talk to people about money, right? Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hi.
Well, hello, Jess. How are you?
I am doing well. The holidays almost not upon us. And I know for a lot of people, that's more worries financially.
Yeah, what boy. Womp, womp, womp. Hey, what a fun show this is going to be. Yay.
Well, but you might have some suggestions, though, which would be good.
Well, yes, but they're not necessarily holiday tips for this show because our shows are timeless. And so we want to talk to people that are having financial troubles any time in life. And that really is about feeling stuck. You know, what level of stuck might you feel when you start to think about maybe it's time to get a little help somewhere, right?
Yeah. And I think maybe the holidays just jogs people's memory and it kind of brings it up more too. So it's all year long. But yeah, you start thinking about it a lot during the holidays when you got to spend money.
I think it does two things, Jess. I think it does bring it to mind, but it also tempts us to sweep it under the carpet more.
I'll deal with this in January. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And that's fine. I mean, in the meantime, you know, probably nothing catastrophic will happen to you unless you're really in what I call the fourth phase of stuck, right? We'll talk about the four kinds of stuck.
Okay.
But that's exactly the point, is people come to Hug Your Money, which we affectionately call Hug. People come here for help when they are feeling like, geez, they're really doing everything they can on their own, but they're tired of going it alone. You know, it's not like they're in crisis mode. Sometimes they are, but they just might be saying, you know what? This is kind of like when I've been working out and I still can't get my quads to look the way I want.
Yeah, people want to see progress. Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for me to get a coach because I've done everything I know and I need some help. And so I'm going to go get some kind of a system that helps me. And that's what Hug Your Money is really about, is taking what you already know how to do and making it better, maybe fixing a few things, maybe recalculating a little bit. So I've boiled this down to four phases of stuck. What level of stuck are you? It's like a fun little game show. What level of stuck are you?
Okay. All right. What is the first level?
Well, the first level really is you're not stuck at all.
Okay.
You just want something better, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of our clients are in this phase. They are, what do I want to say? They're like a GPS system. You know, when your GPS says recalculating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not really lost here. You just want a more direct path. You just want the route around all the traffic. You want to get to your destination earlier with minimal tolls. It's exactly right. So, you know, I tend to use these analogies because we all understand them. We've all been there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the not stuck thing, the GPS rerouting thing, that's exactly the point. That's phase one. Okay. Phase two would be you're a little stuck. Okay.
Okay.
This is like being, you know, that grocery cart you get at the store with a wobbly wheel?
The one bad wheel. Yep.
Clunk, 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 clunk.
I pick it every time. I know. Every time.
You can still operate it, right? You can still go.
As you're dragging it through the store. Yes. Yeah.
Leaning to the right all the time, you know. But it's really annoying and you like to get a better cart. Okay.
Yeah. Try doing that with a kid in the front seat too. That's always fun.
Exactly. That's category number two. That's the little stuck. Okay. What if you're moderately stuck? Now, this is like you go to the fairgrounds and there's a roller coaster and you're thinking, boy, that reminds me a lot of my life, you know, but but I'm going to get on it anyway.
Yeah.
And you get on the roller coaster and you're expecting to go up and over the first drop and you get partway up the incline and it stops.
That's not a fun place to be.
No, but that's your third kind of stuck. You're not really in any danger yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
Yeah.
okay. You're just sitting there, but you're not going anywhere either. And
Okay.
it's not fun.
No, it's
You're not having
frustrating.
any
Yeah.
fun yet, you know?
Yep.
That's
Yep.
what you got on this ride for, was to have some fun. Okay. And then the last kind of stuck. Okay. We have all done this. Well, maybe not all of us, but most of us, I think. You're moving a couch with a friend, and one of you decides. Yes. Exactly. One of you decides how it's going through the doorway, and somehow the two of you get this couch wedged in the doorway.
Yeah.
You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. You need a new plan. And this is stuck level number four, where you're probably thinking about bankruptcy or some other drastic measure.
All
Okay.
right.
So
Let's
we're.
drill down on the first two for the first half. Let's start with the first one.
Yes, we're going to unwind these one at a time. All right. The not really stuck, the recalculating route, right? GPS,
Yeah.
recalculating. That's all you want to do. You want to take your existing habits that are already working well and let us show you how to line them up so that every dollar has real impact, right? So sometimes we're just taking what's already working for you and we're building on it to speed up your progress. So if this is the kind of category you're in, you need to know that this isn't only about debt. A lot of times people feel like their debt is just fine, but they think there's all this ancillary spending going on they'd like to get a handle on, and they don't want to argue with their partner about it all the time. So they want a little budgeting. They want some budget tools to go to that actually work, that actually are granular and help people figure out where that money is going without judgment. Without somebody barking at them, without having an argument about why you can't get your nails done or why you can't have that sports package or whatever it happens to be. And then sometimes people are just wanting more in this category, and this is often the case. In fact, most often, I think it's that people want more for their future. They are doing okay. They're making money. They're paying their bills, probably on time. They might even be sending a little extra, but they want a better future. And so they're looking for a way forward. Now, it's important to know a couple of things about Hug Your Money before we talk about these other kinds of stuck. The first is what makes the impossible seem possible with us. Because I could talk to you all day long about how all this stuff is possible, and you might still be sitting there saying, "Yeah, but what if I can't afford more money? What if I can't send extra? What if I can't? What if I can't? What if I can't?" And the fact of the matter is, what we do is the patented system meets you where you are, takes exactly the numbers you put in, and realigns them. It's not that we don't pay anybody. You're actually making your payments. You're in control of your money. We want you to have good credit. So everybody gets paid, and everybody gets paid on time. But the patented system is what's doing the heavy lifting for you. So to start with, you just have to trust it. You just have to say, okay, today is the day I finally make the dental appointment. Okay, today is the day that you finally say, I'm going to go to hugyourmoney.com and I'm just going to plug my numbers in and click the submit button. I promise you, we do not sell your information. You will not be put in some weird portal where you get emails from salespeople all the time. You don't even have to talk to a person if you don't want to. So it's completely confidential, and it's really going to give you an instant free analysis. Did I say that? Free analysis. Okay. So you can truly plug your numbers in, click the button, and see what your numbers would look like inside Hug so that you get the knowledge you need to move forward. You know,
So it's not so much with the program, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but it's not so much where you could be paying the same amount of stuff you're paying now for your debt, but you with the patented program showed how to apply it in a different way to get that stuff paid off quicker, even for the same amount of dollars. I mean, obviously you can throw more money at it to get it done quicker, but it's just kind of a reorganization of how you're paying. Is that kind of the gist?
It is sort of the gist for the debt part for sure. And I should say, if you have extra money, you might be throwing it to the wrong place. You probably think it should be going to that high interest rate credit card. That's what general knowledge tells you. But We got a patent for a reason. And it would be because we're telling you to send it to the highest interest rate first. Okay.
Okay.
So if you are sending extra money, put that into the system. I'm sending my $50 payment as the minimum payment and $20 extra every month to this debt. And I'm sending $30 to this debt. Our system will grab that money, harness it, and tell you where the smartest place is to send it.
Oh,
What's going to
smart.
get you out of debt the fastest way possible? You can always tweak these things manually, but it's designed to do the fastest, wisest way thing possible. So that's if you are just, you're not really stuck, you just want something better. What if you're a little stuck?
Okay.
Okay, you
Which
get
is
that
probably
wobble.
where most people are, right? Are they?
The wobbly shopping cart.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is where, nothing's on fire. Okay. But it's entirely annoying.
Yeah.
And it is like that grocery cart. So you can still push it, but it's not going anywhere well. People reach out to us thinking that they are, I would say they reach out to us n not thinking they're heading toward a crisis, but they have that in the back of their mind. Like, if I don't do something, I could be heading towards a crisis. And the system shows them that they're just a couple of little steps away from, like course corrections, right? They just need to correct these couple of things before they're back and feeling in control again. Okay,
Okay.
so that's the idea, is that you put as much information in as you possibly can. Most of these things are optional when you go to the forms, but just put as much in as you can. Estimates are fine. Estimating is fine, but you want to tell it as much as you can so that you get the most accurate, output, right? You want to see that analysis that really looks real for you. So, if you're just feeling that little bit of stuck, it's the perfect time to do this. Don't let it get worse, right? Fix the wobbly wheel before the whole cart crashes, okay? Groceries are everywhere. It's a mess. Nobody's happy.
Right.
So, yeah, I can tell you that this is one of the main reasons that people come to us. And certainly, one of the main reasons, excuse me, and certainly one of the main reasons that employers and groups and schools are picking this up as a group benefit, because addressing the stress that people feel financially, really, especially if you can do it early, but at any time, it prevents this bigger issue down the road. And stress reduction boosts production. Okay, I know that sounds tricky a little bit. I've come up with this great phrase, but stress reduction boosts production.
Yeah,
If
because you're
you're.
not distracted thinking about how you're
Exactly.
paying for a certain. Yeah. And I love that employers are now smart enough to be offering this to employees as a benefit.
They are. And in fact, groups benefit from this greatly. Not only do the people come on board and get financial wellness, but the company benefits from all the things we're talking about, including better retention, better loyalty, things of that nature, even attracting better talent. Imagine you're some great talent and you're looking for a job, and you've got two companies to choose between. And one of them has got this program in place that's going to save you. Our average client saves more than $200,000 in interest. Average client.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And that
Okay.
actually kind of shows you which employer cares about you, which is nice. It's like a little
It
added benefit.
I think it does, and I think it makes for a good environment. And then people working, start to talk to each other about it, and you get this sort of camaraderie about how great your. Remember when people started talking about how great their 401k plan was? Imagine your employer gave you a couple hundred thousand dollars into your 401k plan when you
Yeah,
signed
that'd be
on.
great.
You'd be pretty impressed, right? So for employers, because this is so affordable now as a group, as low as $39 a month, and for really large groups, maybe even less, right? Because it's so affordable for groups, the ROI, the return on investment, is enormous. It's probably the highest ROI benefit that you can pick up as a company, or as a school, or an organization, or a group.
Now, if you're a business owner and you're listening right now, how do people find out more about this? How would they get in contact with you to kind of get this started for their employees?
Sure, whether it's a group or an individual, just go to hugyourmoney.com. And if you're a group, you'll see right up there in the navigation, groups, right? Click on it. You'll get a landing page with an ROI calculator. Your HR people can put in how many people you have, what your payroll
Okay.
is. You will get your exact ROI based on our plan prices. And then just contact us for a demo.
All right, and what's the phone number?
413-773-3333.
All right, we've gotten through two kinds of stuck, but we've got two more, the worst kinds, and that's coming up in the second half. You can visit hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on franklincountynow.com.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money.
Mission granted, chase your dream.
Hug Your Money, where financial wellness gets personal.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi.
And we're talking about four kinds of stuck that people get into with their finances. We've done two of them already. What are the other two?
Let's start with a roller coaster ride. I cannot believe the goofy things I do to talk to people about money, right? Because it's hard to talk to people about money when they're so frightened or when they're so stressed that they can't reach out. So let me just reassure anybody listening, I have been probably worse off than you are. Okay. I know how to get you out. The system is designed to get you out. The system is designed to meet you where you are, whether you're not very stuck, you're a little stuck, or you're this kind of stuck, which is you're on the roller coaster and you're stopped on an incline. And this is where payments feel heavy. Okay.
And
You
getting off
really,
the roller coaster, not really an option right
that's right. You really know. Well, yeah, it's tricky, right?
Yeah.
You really know you're going to need some help. Payments feel heavy. You're not flirting with bankruptcy yet. In fact, if somebody brings up the word, you don't even consider it. You're like, no, I want my credit, right? And you may not even qualify for bankruptcy, which is our fourth kind of stuck. But, you're making your minimums, but it seems like nothing is ever going down. Now, this is where I was personally when I developed the first version of what is now Hug Your Money. I was paying out, I can't believe I say this on the air, but it's true, $10,800 a month in debt payments. And none of it was awful credit card debt. It was mortgages, building, houses at the beach and things like that. It was building the empire. But because of that, there wasn't a program that I found that could help me because they all deal with credit cards. And they all seem to harm your credit, or they refinance your loans, or they just shift stuff around. And that's how Hug Your Money came to be, because I needed a solution for me, because I was in the third kind of stuck. Okay.
On the roller coaster,
Yep. You're not crashing. You're not moving forward either. You're making your minimums, but you feel it, right? You're dragging it around. So again, you're not in danger, but you're not going anywhere without a major push. So you keep making your minimum payments with our system, okay? So the system is designed to keep your credit clean and to fix your problems. So if we're talking about the debt part, budget and retirement planning, future planning, that all comes with it, right? They're separate modules. But for this part, let's just talk about the debt for a minute. The system is doing the heavy lifting for you. So what you have to do is keep making your minimum payments. And that's really what you have to do. Right? You probably want to take advantage of the budgeting in there and probably start to plan for the future because it's available to you. But you can take exactly where you are right now. And this is where employers listen up. All your people that you think aren't in trouble because they're not complaining to you, they've probably all got mortgages, car payments, student loans, credit cards. That's why they're coming to you and saying, I need a raise. What else can I do? I think I might go to another employer because there's a better opportunity. If you start to lessen their debt and give them a sense of control, things will ease, okay? So this all you have to do is make your minimum payments. The system will do the heavy lifting. It will recalculate the order, the timing, and the impact so your entire plan moves forward and it will keep your credit clean. Everybody will still get their minimum payments. I know you don't get this. How is it possible if you don't send extra money?
Yeah, it seems like you would need extra income in order to make your debt go down
It
quicker,
does seem
or
that way. It does seem that way. And it's true in just about every other thing I know about. But here, what happens, to be honest with you, because it's not, I hate it when people say that phrase, to be honest with you. What? People are just going to lie to you instead? Okay, but to tell you how this really works, if you have extra money, great. Well, you're going to harness that and use it like we talked about in the first half. If not, we just have to wait for that to emerge naturally, but it will inside the system through one of two
Okay.
paths. Either you'll just make your minimum payments according to the schedule that's in Hug Your Money, and when one debt is paid off, that money becomes what we call margin. That is, in fact, your extra money that we are
Okay.
going to send to the proper place, not a snowballing effect. Something much more sophisticated than that, okay? But we are going to choose which debt to send it to. That's one way you can start the ball rolling further, right? The second way is you look at
Sorry,
they're
go ahead.
calling, that's a creditor calling you right now.
Exactly. Spam.
It is spam, I'm sure. You're very good with your money. Yeah, so that's one way you can find that extra money. The second way you can find it is do the budgeting stuff. Track your expenses. You don't have to build the budget. Just put the stuff in the system because something will emerge. I promise you, you'll look at it one day and say, oh, $50. We could save $50 there. Let me put it in as margin and see what it does to my debt plan.
Yeah, a lot of clients probably tell you how eye-opening it is because you don't realize that you're spending stuff till you actually start putting it in.
We get two comments. One is that it's very eye-opening. And once they do it, they're very grateful for it. They're saying, wow, I never saw anything that got this granular. I could customize. It's really looking at what I've got. It's giving me this model month as an example. The other side says, I don't want to do it because I know it's ugly and I can't face it.
I
And
don't
I'm
want to
going
give
to
up
tell
my
you,
iced coffee every morning. Yeah.
yes. And so I'm going to tell you that is the time when you need to face it. And nobody's looking at that unless you want them to. It's completely confidential. It's between you and your hug concierge in our system, Dr. Finwell. Okay.
Who we
Nobody's going
talked
to
about last
call you.
week, yeah.
That's right. Nobody's going to call you on the phone and say, hey, I think you're overspending here. You should cut back. This is about you doing you better. Okay.
Okay.
But we're giving you the tools you need to make that happen. Okay. Let's talk about, well, I guess I should say, so if you're in that mode of
Situation.
stuck, yeah,
Yeah.
just go to hugyourmoney.com, set up your account for yourself and put your own information in. Completely confidential, free analysis, instantly. Nobody's going to bug you. You're not going to get sales calls from us or anybody else. All right. This is about you getting what you need to move forward. All right. And remember that that progress actually appears naturally in almost every case. So if you
Okay.
don't have extra money, don't worry about it. Just do this one thing. Give this little gift to yourself. Do one thing. Go to the website, fill out the form, click the button.
Okay.
Then see what you've got, okay? Don't freak out about it. Don't say it's going to be ugly. Just try it, okay? Just try it. It's like a food you never had. Just try it.
Right.
Okay. If you are somebody already sending extra, we talked about that. Great. That's going to get redirected with precision. You know where to send it. The system knows what to do, and it's actually going to drive your whole plan forward. Okay. Wow. Okay. The fourth kind of stuck.
Okay.
When
You're
you're
careening
really,
down the roller coaster?
where you're really stuck, worse. This is the couch in the doorway wedge that we talked
Oh,
about in the beginning.
yes.
So this is a stage where payments aren't just heavy anymore. Now they're impossible. All right. You're juggling due dates. People who are out there who have this are going to go, oh, she knows. She's in our checkbook. You're juggling the due dates. You're borrowing from one card to pay another. You're considering bankruptcy or some other drastic measure, right? Like, I'm just not going to pay my debt and they can come and get me for it, right?
Right. And I think a lot of people do get to that point just because you're so overwhelmed.
When I was in version number three stuck, believe me, I was really thinking about what are my options here because I've done everything I know how to do. And I
Yeah.
should say, this was long before I started Hug Your Money. That's why I am doing
Started.
what I'm doing today. Yeah. So it's that moment that we've all had at least once where we get that couch stuck in the doorway. You're not able to push forward. You're not able to push back. You and your partner, if there is one, are probably pushing like a push me, pull you, right? You're not getting anywhere.
There's a lot of
And
cursing going on.
yeah, and you've lifted, you've twisted, you've turned. Now it's jammed in there. You're not getting anything done without a totally different strategy. Okay. So the good news is all four of these kinds of stuck can be addressed at Hug Your Money, right? Pretty amazing, really, actually. So what I want to say is anybody who's in that position that I just talked about knows it already. And if you're an individual, go to Hug Your Money. Just go there, click the button, do the form. That's it, right? But if you're a business, I want to talk to you for a minute about this.
Okay.
Because I had a very, I learned this from a client about our own system. It was
Okay.
fascinating. I had a very astute business person. Through COVID, the business was in trouble. The income they were making was not coming in anymore.
Right.
They were still in afloat, but it just, you know, they were making enough money. But all they were able to do now, instead of grow the business, was pay the minimums. They had all this debt on their shoulders, and guess what? They didn't qualify for bankruptcy. They
Yeah.
made too much for a simple seven bankruptcy, right? Chapter seven. They made too much money. Now, they could have chosen a reorganization, a chapter 11 or chapter 13, to reorganize some of this debt. But the problem this guy had, and which most business people that we see, especially in small to mid-sized business people, is they had a personal guarantee on the business loans. That
Oh,
means
okay.
they can't just file a business bankruptcy and get rid of them. So here's what this guy taught me. He came to me one day and he said, because I was talking to him about bankruptcy, and we got to the point where he said, I went to the lawyers you told me to go to, you suggested, and I can't file bankruptcy. Or if I file reorganization, it's going to be this many years. It's not going to wipe out my personal debt. My vendors are going to stop delivering. My business is going to suffer. My credit's going down the tubes. I
It's going to
can't
make
have
things
that.
worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So his solution to me, I credit this guy with it all the time because it had never occurred to me that this would be a way to use Hug Your Money, but boy, did it work. His
Okay.
solution to me was, look, I realized I can still make the minimum payments, so I'll just use your system, as he put it, to service a lot of debt.
Okay.
I'll just use it to service the debt. I'll just keep these debts in place. I'll keep my credit. I'll make the minimums, but by using our system, all his debt was gone in 5 years. He would have just been recovering from a bankruptcy around that time, probably, right?
Okay.
So for
Because it
him,
pinpointed where to send any extra money, is that kind of how that worked?
it just did what we do. It took no extra money. It let him pay off the first debt using a couple of tricks of trade. I mean, even if your first debt is a credit card, we have a couple of nuances that are baked into the system that will speed it up. So if you enter this in and your first debt says it's a credit card and you're not sending any extra money, but it says it's normally paid off in 5 years, let's say. That's being optimistic. And with our system, it's paid off in four. It isn't wrong. It's using other things we know to speed that up. And it's all in the system. It's all just baked right in there for you. All you have to do is log in and follow the system. It's super easy to follow. Okay. We are doing that heavy lifting. So all he had to do was do that until the very first debt was paid off. Then his margin emerged naturally. It went to the next place, the next place, the next place. So all he had to do was do that. In the meantime, this guy actually grew his business because he could. The weight was off of his shoulders. His vendors were delivering. His credit was clean,
Oh,
which
wow.
means he came out of COVID
Yeah.
and now was like, hey, I'm back in business. So now at the end of this situation, because he was able to grow his business and pay his debt down, he had this incredible cash boost, which allowed us to make up for the lost time he had when he couldn't save for retirement because he was paying the debt.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's incredible. And
I
so
hope he's doing a testimonial for sure.
he's like a walking testimonial. I have to say, he sent
Yeah.
me a number of business clients who were not flirting with bankruptcy, but just like, hey, if I can do this and get out of bankruptcy, imagine what you can do in good standing to make
Right.
things better. But I did want to say that even if he hadn't grown the business, he would have felt this gap just by paying down the debt. I mean, this guy was paying more than I was in debt when I started the system, right? He was almost $15,000 a month in debt. So paying that off, all he had to do was use our system, and 5 years from now, he's got $15,000 a month not going to creditors. That's a new life,
And must have
right?
been such a relief for him.
I'm sure that it was a relief for him. He is still, not only are his family members of Hug Your Money, but friends of his business people, and he still stays in touch with us all the time. And we are now working his retirement picture instead of his debt picture. But it's a good point. You can just use the system to manage your debt properly if you need to.
Great options, not only for you as an individual, but if you are a business owner and you're going through this, it's great for that as well. Or if you want to show your employees that you really care and boost productivity, like you said, it's a great thing to offer them as a
Thank
benefit.
you. Yes, we really do believe that. That's why we've gone to the trouble of offering it as a financial wellness benefit to groups. But in closing, I just want to remind people, whether you're GPS recalculating, not really stuck, or you've got the wobbly shopping cart, or you're on the roller coaster partway up and you're not going anywhere, or you're really stuck with the couch wedge between the door. Whether you're an individual or you want to bring it to your employer or your employer is listening, schools, organizations, groups, anybody can do this. But the first step is you have to go to hugyourmoney.com and click a button or ask for a demo.
All right, I love it. What is your phone number too? I want to get that for everyone.
Of course, because you know what? Here at Hug Your Money, we still answer a phone and talk to people. Can you believe
A
it?
real person, yes.
A real person. 413-773-3333.
All right, and again, go to hugyourmoney.com. Dr. Frances Ram with Hug Your Money, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess. Also underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham.
And I'm talking to the listeners now. If you think that you who have not done this for a living are going to go in there and tell the story and be heard, I wish it were so, but it's not. To be heard, you've got to present in a way that's concise, that is in a format and in a way that the court can hear it quickly and understand and stop the presses for a second and go like, oh, we're about to make a big mistake. And we're going to really set these people up for a big, big problem.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Frances Ram, and our guest, Christopher Anderson from New Leaf Family. You know, I wanted to throw a quick question out here because this is something that I've learned in sales and in doing other things too. Everybody, and especially when they come to you, Christopher, everybody does things out of emotion. They're not going to necessarily look at things, you know, objectively in the cold, cruel light of day.
I think you're absolutely right. From a financial perspective, if you think that you make bad decisions when you're, I don't know, when you're slightly emotional, like you make a quick decision at the checkout counter because there was an end cap that had candy on it. If you think that's a bad financial decision, try making it when you're hurt or you're angry.
Yeah.
And see how your financial decisions are. And that's where a really good attorney can be worth their weight in gold, if you'll pardon that pun, because it's so emotional. But go ahead, Christopher, tell us what you have to say about that.
Well, I would actually caution that some very good attorneys, and by good attorneys in this context, I mean skilled, will oftentimes, unfortunately, actually drive up the emotion in the case. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, you know, your listeners need to focus on their own emotional state and maybe, spend more time getting that really clear vision of the future and lead their attorneys towards that future, right? And that's why we have that conversation, because because I don't listen. I'm a trial lawyer. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, like I was a criminal prosecutor. Mm-hmm. I like the courtroom. I like to win. And the people I hire tend to as well. But that's why we do this training, why we train ourselves, when we're dealing with family law, which is what we do, we got to think differently. There's no winning, right? There's a family that doesn't exist anymore. The win comes when we're done. The win comes from our clients moving forward into this new life. The wins do come from protecting them from unfairness and protecting them from overreach from the other side. But the biggest wins come from the clarity of purpose that comes from these future thoughts. And yeah, I often advise our clients not to make any financial decisions while we're being, having,
that's right,
living through the throes of the emotion, just like, the time will come for that.
Yeah.
And if you are going to need to make a decision, let's talk about that future again and then ask, okay, if you make this decision, does that help propel you towards that future, or does it hold you back, or does it send you sideways? Usually it sends you sideways.
Yeah, we call that a period of transition. Mm-hmm. And it happens in financial planning all over the place, but I will slow people right down. If they've just inherited money, if they've gotten a divorce, if they've lost a partner, anything that adds and takes you out of your normal concept of what your life is like and upsets the apple cart, you're changing jobs, anything like that, moving to a new city. Those are all periods of transition where you don't really have the data you need yet to Right. make the decision well. You haven't lived in that environment yet. Something is different for you. And so in divorce cases, we work as part of a collaborative team with some attorneys. And that's what we do, is we start the process that you folks are doing legally that most places don't. We start the process with, what's this going to look like? How are we going to get the two of you through this? Because you're not going to win, either one of you. All you're going to do is pay lawyers all right. this money. So you better minimize that and figure out what you want. And so we do a lot of that work to not only figure out what they want, but to figure out what the real numbers are. Which brings me to the point that even though we've been talking a lot about the emotional side of it, very important to people, I want to point out that you're in Colorado. And Colorado has something, if I'm correct about this, called the sworn financial statement.
Mm-hmm.
And every state has something very similar. We have something similar in Massachusetts. And it's designed for people to fill out the form about what their expenses are and somehow inform the court about what will be equitable, but it tends to lean more towards equal. Is this assessment correct? And what can you tell me about this financial statement?
Yeah. The sworn financial statement, first of all, let's just answer what it is. And like most states have a version of it. Some don't, amazingly. Is basically, think of it like a tax return in a way, right? You're advising the court, the decision maker, if you don't make the decision, which you should, of your financial circumstances through this form. You're also advising your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind it is that if everybody knows everything, it'll be easier to come to agreement. Because, if anybody thinks you're hiding stuff, it's harder to come to an agreement. And so it serves both the purpose of informing the court, but also of informing the other side. And it can be, it can be a very stressful thing for people to figure out, to fill out. Some people don't have experience. We get a lot of clients who say, like, my spouse dealt with the money. I have no idea. Like, right. I don't know what credit cards we have. I don't know what debts we have. I don't know what assets we have. I have no idea.
Yep.
And you have to start from there.
Yep.
But the purpose of it then in informing everybody is so that you can then come to an equitable distribution of that, of the assets and debts that are listed in this sworn financial statement.
I think that's the intent behind the form, but I can only speak to what I see in Massachusetts, which is that the form is oversimplified. Estimate your groceries, estimate your rent. I mean,
right.
People just make it up as they go along.
Absolutely.
And what I see is if we start with the clients here and we get the real expenses down about where they are now, we can parse out which expenses are going to belong to which partner. We can get a very clear picture, a very realistic, real life picture, and start to plan for the future based on that. When we're involved in helping them, guiding them with these numbers so that they can fill out the forms properly, then people really do know about everything and fairer decisions seem to be made. What I see, however, in the beginning, when people come to me and they've already submitted these forms is that the one who completed it the best, the one who knew what they were doing the most, or the one who could make the numbers work to be the most believable wins, if there is a win, right? That they've put down numbers that make it look like they can't afford to pay the other person anything, or that they should get a lot from the other person. And it may not be the case. So, you know, we both work with people who are going through these transitions. It's never a clean process, but it can be made better. You know, we talked a little bit about why this form might be so critical, but I think, at least in our state, in the Commonwealth here, it seems to fall short. And I remember in our pre-show chat, you made a comment to me. You said, there's an old joke, I think, it was a fascinating comment about, we went into law because we weren't good at math.
Yes. Yeah.
And I laughed about that. I thought that was pretty hysterical. But also, you were talking about something called math for law. Can you peel back the curtain a little bit and tell us what you're talking about there? What do lawyers really rely on in addition to this form, if anything? And what's it like to be a lawyer looking at the financial planning side of things?
Yeah, and it's challenging, right? Because I think a lot of lawyers will joke about that. We'll say, you know, I went into the law so I didn't have to do math. Not true for me. Unfortunately, I came the math way. But for most lawyers, that's the case. And so there are softwares out there. You mentioned one of them, Math for Law. In every state, Math for Law supports many states.
Yes.
But there are a multitude of these softwares. Another one's called Family Law Software. Yeah. So those are the big two for Colorado, but different states have different ones. Some states actually publish their own calculators that you can just use the state one.
Yeah.
But regardless, what these are online calculators that let you put in the information based on a questionnaire, and then it organizes the information for you in a way that the court wants it. That fortunately, because the lawyers on the other side, we all know what it's supposed to look like. So it organizes it in a way we're used to digesting it. And then we'll do certain calculations. So for instance, if both sides put their information into Math for Law, Math for Law will then calculate what the child support's supposed to be. Math for Law will then calculate what the spousal support maintenance, or what people call alimony, is supposed to be. What it won't do really is actually the equitable distribution. And for that, I've built one, for instance, for my own firm that does the equitable distribution portion of it. But there's more subjectivity in the equitable distribution than most people think about. It isn't, it's meant to be equal. It is meant to be equitable. And equity sometimes requires that it be unequal. And we have to include those things. Whereas, the child support calculation is a little bit more strict because it's the right of the child to be supported. It's not, and the courts are really just looking at what are the resources of the parents to support this child or children. So that's what that software is about.
So, great time again. I hate to do it to us.
Okay.
It flies when you're having fun. And I'm sure that there are questions. Francis, can we get your phone number again for folks?
Yes, 413-773-3333.
And of course, it's hugyourmoney.com. And for today, as we're talking to Christopher here, you can get more details too about topics we're talking about at Christopher's website, which is newleaf.family/moneydoctor, and doctor is spelled out DOCTOR. And we'll be back with more of Financial Fitness with Dr. Francis Ram.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and our guest is Christopher Anderson, attorney, counselor. What's nice is that you've got somebody, Francis, obviously, you can tell by talking to Chris. He's got empathy. He's kind. But at the same time, if you have him on your team, it's like having Mr. Spock or Data from Star Trek or you know, who's the guy from Big Bang Theory? Probably could explain, you know, quantum string theory to you or whatever it's called.
Oh, we could go there if you want to, but it doesn't usually help in family law cases.
No, but it's very nice to be able to see things from the whole perspective, he says. As we say, this is emotional, but you've got to look at things in the cold, cruel light of day when you're dealing with these issues, yes?
Yeah, and cold, cruel light reminds me. So we've been all warm and fuzzy talking about how we're going to help people and help them through their emotions and help them through their money. I have two words for you, child support. this form, I'm just going to go on a bit of a rant here, tiny little rant. This lovely financial form that we all spend a lot of time preparing for the courts and which goes to the courts. In our state, the child support is a factor of your income. And what I find to be unfair, maybe not equitable, is that that calculation doesn't necessarily take into account the amount of debt payments they have, other expenses. It's their income. Now, if you have no debt versus having debt, your income is doing a different job. So what can you tell us about child support and what can possibly make that fairer? Because what I see often, all too often, is now there's been a division. One partner, it doesn't matter whether it's the wife or the husband, but one partner is living in the house, getting an income from alimony or child support, doing kind of okay. And the other person is, you know, maybe not living in their car, but definitely not able to move forward financially because the child support is so high. I'm all for supporting children. But sometimes they will come to me and they'll say, in 6 years, I'm going to be able to buy a house again.
Right.
What can you say about the child support part? It's so difficult here.
It is, first of all. It just is. And it goes back to kind of what you were talking about earlier, which is that you create two households where there was one and it's harder. It's more expensive. And then, you know, we've been talking about equitable distribution of assets and debts. But now we're also going to be talking about, like, when you think about child support, you also have to think about the fact that you're now having shared parenting time much of the time. So you've got two sets of bedrooms, two sets of clothes, two sets of Count Chocula. Two sets of everything, two parents driving kids to plays and swim practice. And, you know, the list goes on, two sets of childcare sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so all these additional expenses, and yeah, you get one parent, often both parents who say, I just can't make it this way. Like, I can't. And indeed, like you said, you know, if one person's receiving the support and living in the house, like it may fall harder on one parent or feel like it falls harder on one parent than the other.
What I hear people complain about who are paying child support and who have joint custody, I think is a valid complaint. The kids are here half the time. I spend half the food. I spend all of this and I still pay child support. And in an amicable situation, you can work that out. But what the court decides is maybe another story.
Right. Let's talk about the concept first, like, because I think people do get themselves wrapped up and tied up into knots over exactly the words you just used. But let's talk about the concept and also where it can go wrong and where it does go wrong. So the concept is this: spouse one has income one and spouse two has income two. From the court's perspective, you mash the two incomes together and you get a total income. And then the court says if there's two children, those two children deserve to be supported to a certain dollar amount based on this total income. I don't care where the income comes from. Now, I'm going to go back and say, okay, well, 60% was spouse one, 40% was spouse two. So spouse one is responsible for 60% of that total amount that goes to the kids. So we need to move 10% over to spouse two. And so that now you both have the resources to do your share. That's the concept, right? It's that the kids are being supported from the combined income. And it comes from an illusion. And we could talk about policy later, but the illusion is that the children should not suffer any diminution of their support because there's been a divorce.
Right.
They should be supported in exactly the same way as had the parents stayed together. But we just got done discussing the fact that there's all these additional expenses. And so that kind of makes it feel unfair. But it's unfair equally or equitably in a way, right? Because both parties have additional expenses. And you know, when one party's handing over a check to the other party, you know, they know that it's not covering all of it. The party who's receiving is also supposed to be applying some of their own resources to the children as well. And it's just supposed to equal it out. How does it end up working out? Sometimes it feels like a burden. But this is where I just have to remind people that it's what they're really feeling is the fact that it's more expensive to live this way. And it's more expensive to be a single parent and have, like, because each of you now has almost 100% of the expenses of that you used to share. You know, because like we just said, you know, the Count Chocula and everything else, like you each are supporting all of this. And it's really hurting both sides. And most people that are making the complaint are feeling it themselves and not really understanding that it's actually hurting both sides. And so what we try to work with on our clients, and I'm sure you do too, is to remind them that this is not a universe of lack. This is not a zero-sum game. And if you're going to live this way, then we're going to have to perhaps have some conversations about what you're bringing in and what's going out. But then you also raise something that's, I think, super, super important, which is not only do you have to look at those two things, but when the child support calculation says X, and you said, you know, sometimes one person's got all this debt or like all these other burdens, and it doesn't really take that into effect. That's where good lawyering really becomes important. You've got to be able to tell that story to the court during the process. Oh, we get so many clients that come to us afterwards.
I know.
Say, oh, the court didn't understand. We have clients that come to us all the time. I can't pay this.
Yeah.
I just can't pay this.
That's right.
I can't believe they did this to me. And the problem is that the court didn't know because nobody told the judges aren't omniscient. The judges can't see behind the paper unless someone tells them the story. And that's where, you know, the really, you know, solid lawyering that can tell a story, that can tell the story of the children, tell the story of the parents, tell the story of the future and say, judge, this is what's going to happen here. Like, you know, what we're setting up, we're walking these people into failure for themselves and for these children. Let's not do that. Let's write a different story. That has to happen right in the moment or it's lost.
Yeah. Again, we're totally on the same page about this. That's why the work up front financially helps, right? Mm-hmm. To build a budget, to look at all the debt, to have the retirement assets, to have everything in one place where we can organize it and say, here's the whole picture. Here's the holistic picture. And how are we going to fund your future? And then work with an attorney on this, right? I would call this death by a thousand cuts in some ways for people. They tend to default to equal rather than equitable or fair because the math is easy. And then what happens is people start to chip away at it without a good attorney in the mix who will hold up and say, wait, you might be being unfair to yourself.
Right.
They tend to say, oh, I'll take the Visa card. It's okay. I'll just give me the Visa card. Just shut up, go away. Give me the Visa card. Yeah. I'll take the car payment. No. Yeah. You can stay in the house because I feel really bad about whatever. So I'm going to give you the house. And they make these little decisions that turn out to be a major problem in their finances when you're not talking to each other and amicably and both of you looking at the whole picture. And then what happens is they bring this information to the court. The decision is made. Everybody agrees. It's done. Try and unravel that later. Yes, you can go back into court and complain that your child support is unfair. It's very hard to do, I think. So I just really think that is terribly important get everybody on the same page financially, even though you're already emotionally a wreck and you don't want to do it. That's what skillful people are there to help you do, to
Absolutely.
Offload that and just provide answers, but offload it to a professional. We have a few minutes left, and I wonder if you might share with us maybe an example of a story where you've seen a computer spit out a number that was clearly wrong for one of the parties.
I mean, it happens all the time. because really because of the thing that you mentioned earlier. So I'm not going to think of a specific story because I'm just going to amalgamating all the stories. The child support calculator looks at relative incomes. It doesn't look at resources. You know, you talked about debts, and that's one thing, and we'll think about that as well, because all a debt is really at the end of the day is a negative resource.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't look at resources. Like parent A might have, their parents are going to provide them a house.
They have a family safety net.
Yeah. Or they have a pre-existing, because, you know, this doesn't go into the equitable distribution, a pre-existing trust fund or something that came before the marriage. Right. And they're going to be able to rely on this and live a certain way and also get paid child support because that's what the computer spit out. Because the computer only looked at income, and that's what the court will go with. Because the court is seeing this case and then the next case and then the next case and then the next case. They don't have the time to look underneath. That's the lawyer's job. And if you think, you know, and I'm talking to the listeners now, you know, if you think that you who have not done this for a living are going to go in there and tell the story and be heard, I wish it were so, but it's not. To be heard, you've got to present in a way that's concise, that is in a format and in a way that the court can hear it quickly and understand and stop the presses for a second and go like, oh, we're about to make a big mistake and we're going to really set these people up for a big, big problem. That's where the lawyering comes in, and it's so important because that's just one example, but the resources and or the debts. There are other examples, as well as, you know, how the numbers can tell the wrong story, and that story needs to be told. And I just do want to mention, because you said you can go in and modify. Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's hard, and you have to show that something changed.
Right.
And then oftentimes the modification will only go as far as the change. Mm-hmm. The fundamental unfairness that underpinned it is kind of locked in.
Yeah.
And is it impossible? No, but it's a much harder rock to move.
Yes. Yeah. When does it make sense for lawyers to introduce to the picture a financial professional, or when is it overkill? Is it ever overkill?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that are overkill. Mm-hmm. If people are of limited means, or there just aren't that many assets, or it's not that complicated, like that's just, sure. You might just be adding an expense that they don't need to have. Mm-hmm. But to me, you bring in an expert, you bring in a financial professional, the same time you bring in a child psychologist, the same time you bring in any other experts into a case, which is when the story you're trying to tell involves matters of opinion, or matters that are beyond the ken, beyond the knowledge that you should expect the court to have. So somebody that needs to educate the court from a position of professional knowledge, of knowledge that's not common. That's when you bring them in. And that is, you know, very often, like you've got someone who's got a retirement out there that they're going to be relying on, or has an annuity, or has money coming in from this source or that source, or like we said, has this trust fund. How do you value that? How should you talk about how that affects their current ability to support? You know what? As a lawyer, I can have an opinion, but the court really shouldn't listen to my opinion. That's when you need the financial professional to come in and give that opinion that the court can rely on and say, okay, this person's got $1 million in a trust fund. What does that mean? You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to spend $1 million this year. What does that mean to their ability to support these children? Only a financial professional can give the actual answer to that. That's when you need to bring them in.
Boy, I thank you so much for spending all this time with us and talking about this. The real goal here is understanding, and understanding that divorce doesn't have to be war. It can be a process of realignment. And Christopher, I just want to thank you for helping us shed some light on that.
My absolute pleasure. Yes, it is a turning of a page.
Yep.
And walking into your fullest possible future, and yes, having some professionals along the way to help you get there.
Francis, can we get your phone number for folks real quick?
Absolutely. It's 413-773-3333.
And of course, you know, the website is hugyourmoney.com. We appreciate Christopher Anderson's time too. More information related to this whole show is at newleaf.family/ Money Doctor, with doctor spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R.
Yes.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Francis. It's been a great show.
And join us next time around for another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram.